Testimony song. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me for a few moments, if you will, before we pray for healing in this very room today. By the way, the greater healing and the greatest healing of all, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can come to know Him. This could be the day that your life changes here and now and changes the destiny of where you will spend eternity. This is important business that we're about today, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has the power to save. I believe that, and it has the power to heal, deliver, and set free. God doesn't stop with just forgiving our sins. He translates us out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. He regenerates us spiritually. If any man be in Christ, something has occurred, something spiritual and something fabulous and something supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. Amen. It's not about getting religion or just starting to go to church. It's meeting a Savior that changes your life from the inside out. From the moment you receive Him, He goes to work within you and continues to work in you all the way through this journey called life. It's God that worketh in you. I've got great confidence. I don't have a lot of confidence in me, and frankly, I don't have a lot of confidence in you. You know why I don't? Because you're weak and I'm weak. In the we have a chink in the armor called flesh. S-A-R-X is what it's called in the Greek. It's that part of you that is always going to be weak. When I am weak, recognize it, admit it, look to God for the grace and strength to overcome it. Paul said, then am I made strong. You don't get strong by denying your weakness, but admitting it. The Old Testament's very clear about that. To them that hath no might, He increases strength. So many people get anointed. They get some revelation of the Word of God. They get some gifts of the Spirit, the charismata, working through their life, and they quit admitting their weakness. And when a man says, whether he says it verbally, vocally, or whether he says it in his heart, when a man says, behold, look at me, I stand, he's the one in jeopardy, not the one in the room that says, I've got weaknesses, I recognize them, I need grace and strength to help me to overcome. It keeps you humble, doesn't it, when you admit your weaknesses? It's not saying that Satan has a victory and that Jesus can't help you. It's qualifying for that help by admitting it and looking to Jesus with everything you are and everything that you have. We used to think that once we spoke in tongues, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, we didn't need to do that anymore. We were very wrong. We were mistaken. And many of us were shipwrecked because of that. We depended on the power of God and not the person of Christ. We depended on the gifts of the Spirit and not the grace of God. Amen. And Paul said, what is sustaining me is grace. It's not gifts. It's not power. It is a person who holds me and upholds me. Just like God told ancient Israel, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And that's easily misunderstood, because it would seem like He's coming along to put His arm under you and walk together. Remember the footprints thing that sold so many things at the Christian bookstore? It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thought that is conveyed, because the man's walking along the beach and he feels isolated and alone, and he sees one foot, looks back and he sees one set of footprints in the sand, and he said, Lord, you said you'd never leave me, forsake me, you'd go with me all the way, but I only see one set of footprints. And the Lord speaks back to him and said, that's right, it's because I am carrying you. That's what uphold means. It means to lift up and suspend from the earth. It doesn't mean to prop you up. It means to pick you up. Can you say amen? So when His peace comes, it is not just Him adding a little something to yours. It's Him doing it all. Amen? It's when He takes over. When He does it, praise the Lord. When I am weak, qualify for His grace, and look to Him for it, then at that moment, the real strength comes. The real faith manifests. And it's different from what we have perceived it to be. When He said, take my yoke upon you, we see an ox yoke. We don't see the yoke on a sheep to keep him from getting out of the pen. We see two a thing for two. The ox puts his head under here, and the ox puts his head under there, and I got my head in, and I'm a big, strong ox of a guy. And I got a lot of strength, but I just don't have quite enough strength. So Jesus comes along, sticks his head in the other part of the yoke, and now together, one big ox and the other ox. You know what that's like? That is so silly. Amen. That somehow my strength is necessary for God to deliver me. He just adds his to mine. No. When I'm weak, then am I made strong. Story comes out of Africa. An ant and an elephant come to a drawbridge, one of those old swinging bridges out of ropes and boards that goes across a deep chasm. And an elephant wants to get over to where it's greener and where there has been no drought. And this ant and this elephant arrive at the same time. And the elephant starts across and the ant starts across right beside the elephant. They get halfway across and that bridge is swinging from the weight of that elephant, lumbering along, crossing that drawbridge or that bridge, that rope bridge. When he gets to the other side, amen, the ant and the elephant both step off the bridge and the ant looks up at the elephant. And the ant says, "Boy, we really shook that bridge, didn't we?" I don't think the ant contributed a lot to the shaking of the bridge. Amen? No, the elephant is the one that shook the bridge. The ant, he was just walking along beside the elephant. I'm going to tell you something. When God gets the glory for moving in our life, he is the one. He is the one. He is the one that brings you through. Can you say amen? This is not about you and your faith. It's about God and his faithfulness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, your faith is to be in his faithfulness. So what we're talking about, our theme for the last couple of weeks and this week as well, is receiving God's promises. What a difference it makes. Someone who did the math. I haven't done the math, but some of them are repeated, yes. But if you just want to take it in the number, the numerical sense, some of them are repeated. But the promises themselves, personal promises in your Bible, Old and New Testament, they're a little over 3,000. When God says to the nation of Israel, to a person that he's speaking to, "I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, I will do that." And by the way, while we're right into that, I love the way God talks. Don't you just love the way God talks? Do you love the way God talks? When you look in the Bible, when you hear preachers preach and theologians teach, it may not sound like it does when God just distinctly talks. "I will never leave nor forsake you." That's the way God talks. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing. Now, wait a minute. The theologians, the teachers, the professors, the preachers, they'll all get, because we're not seeing answered prayer, so we got to make excuses for God. So we start changing the narrative. We start saying, "Well, you know, it's God doesn't always do this. God always does what he promises to do." You can't even claim salvation if God isn't a promise keeper. If God's word isn't true, if God changes, amen. Listen, the Bible said the word is so absolutely filled with integrity so that it can bring faith into our hearts, that he's exalted his word above that is exalted above every name that is named. He's exalted his word above his name. Because if he's not a keeper of his word, then his name loses value. Can you say, man, if he's a promise breaker, then his name doesn't hold value. But if he's a promise keeper, his name sustains value. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. God is a promise keeper. That's why he said, "I made a promise to David that I would not lie to him. I made a promise that what I'm telling him is true." And God loves to back up and verify his commitment to his promise. He made a promise to Abraham to take his seed and build a nation out of it. Amen. And Abraham said, "How do I know that you're going to keep your promise?" He said, "Well, stand right there and watch this." And a fire pot came without anybody carrying it. and it came at a deep darkness fell, and now all you could see is this illuminating fire pot, and God's presence was all over it, and it was flaming. And over in the, he said, I want you to slay first. I want you to do what men do to come into covenant with one another. I want you to take a calf and cut it in half. Slay it and cut it in half. Two men would go and stand that came into covenant. Two kings would do this. They would go and they would stand in the blood between the two halves of that slain calf. And what they would pledge, let it be done unto me what was done unto this calf if I break my covenant with you. This was serious stuff. And if you attack one king, you had that other king to deal with because he was in covenant. That's why when I told you about the great missionary that went to Africa, the first thing he wanted to do is come into covenant with the king of a tribe. And he would cut a covenant. He would roll up his sleeve and cut a place and put salt in it and cause it to scar. He wanted it to scar. And there would be a scar on his forearm, which meant I'm in covenant with the king of a tribe. He'd go to another tribe, and as he's preaching the gospel, say, oh, by the way, I want to cut the covenant with you. And they would. I'm not talking about the Indian style where they mingle their blood. I'm just talking about a cut on the arm that left a scar. And they said that David Livingston's arm had scars all up and down his forearm. So he would go where there was someone who wanted to kill him. Some tribe that wanted to kill him, and he would hold up his forearm, and they'd see 12 scars. And they said, wait a minute, if we touch him, he's in covenant with 12 kings. And they're going to come down here and kill us. So maybe instead of killing him, we should come into covenant with him. When a man's ways, he's even able to cause his enemies to be at peace with him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? David Livingston knew the power of a covenant. You know what the New Testament is? It's the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a covenant. That's why the promises of God are not empty words. They are yea and they are amen, because they're made by a God who has come into a covenant with you and a covenant with me. You say, oh, Brother Venable, that was back in Abraham's day. Well, I got some news for you. God is that God of covenant, still making covenants. And he has a blood covenant with me because I am a Christian. He's got a blood covenant with you because you are a Christian. Can you say amen? Amen. And they that are of Abraham's seed by faith. You that have come into the family of God, you've come to a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. They that are the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. Part of that blessing was having a covenant relationship with God. Can you say amen? So the New Testament is in covenant language. And if you don't understand covenant, you can't understand the new covenant, because it's not just a testament like a last will and testament. That's not what it is. The word testament in the Greek is the word covenant. Your Bible is the old covenant and the new covenant. And this is the new covenant in my blood when Jesus shared that last supper with them. I'm coming into a blood covenant. The difference is the blood of Jesus. This covenant that we are under is so much stronger than that covenant. For the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, say it with me, the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of the blood of bulls and goats. And let me read you something from Psalm 103 once again about the covenant David had based on the bulls and goats. Psalm 103. This is the benefits of the old covenant. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not what? What are these benefits from? The covenant. The covenant. You know what he told Israel? He loved them by covenant. We love because, you know, we basically we love them and love us back. If God operated out of emotion instead of commitment to a covenant, Israel would have never survived as a nation. They survived as a nation because of the covenant that he made with Abraham. And he said, I didn't love you because you were greater. I didn't love you because you were greater in number than other nations, more worthy of God's attention. He said, because you're the least of the nations. He went on to say, I didn't love you because you were easy to love, in essence. He said, you're a hard-hearted, and why would he pick a hard-hearted people to set his love on? To show the strength of his covenant. It's easy to love the lovable. Isn't it easy to love the lovable? I love people that love me. I have a problem with people who don't. But there is a love. There is a love. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's divine. And God loves by covenant. He said, I didn't love you because you were greater in number than any other people, but that I might keep the promise that I made to Abraham your father. I set my love upon. Oh, you didn't hear me. I set my love upon. Do we always do things that make him love us? Do we always provoke him to love us? Do sometimes we do things that we know that he... Does that mean that he looks over it? No, he doesn't. But does he love us? Yes, he does. And the Apostle Paul was so convinced of the love of God, he said, there is nothing, nothing present, nothing to come, no angel, no principality, no circumstance of life, no persecution. There is nothing that will separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And that faith we need to receive these promises is based on an understanding of the covenant we have with him and the love that flows from him. Because of that covenant. Paul put it this way. And it's something that we have to either accept. It's one of those tis or taint scriptures. But he put it this way. He said, if he loved us enough to give us his only begotten son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If he loved us to that degree, would he withhold any good thing from us that he has purposed, and in particular, that he has promised? I love the way God talks. Because he doesn't mince words. He's not mealy-mouthed. He doesn't try to explain things in such a vague way that you could never claim a promise of his. Can you say amen? You know why there's such a great revival in South Vietnam right now? Dr. Wong from Hong Kong. I'll never forget his name because it rhymes. Dr. Wong from Hong Kong. On Moody Radio, non-Pentecostal organization. Talking about the book of Acts. And all the miracles that happened through the apostles. And you know, they said that was just for them. But he said, this is happening in South Vietnam. When churches come together and they're not big organized churches, they're kind of like house meetings with 50 here and 40 there and 30 here, but there's several thousands of them that gather every Sunday. They're worshiping this Sunday in one of those churches in South Vietnam. And he said, the miracles, there's not a miracle in the book of Acts, not a healing or a miracle in the book of Acts that isn't occurring. Demons cast out, the opening of the blind man's eyes, the lame walking, amen, cancer being healed, tumors shrinking. There's not a miracle in the book of Acts that isn't occurring in those prayer meetings and those gatherings of Christians. No great evangelist with gifts of the Spirit, but a faithful God that is keeping his word. Amen. Saw a guy on TV this very morning. With miracle water. Send it to you free. Oh, the donation is coming. We need your address first to get you on the mailing list. My dad got the, you know, David's pebble or whatever it was that he sent for and got it free. Then he got a piece of a prophecy. It cost him $17 for the piece of the prophecy. And then the next letter he got said the prophecy left him hanging, you know, with like a cliffhanger. What else is going to happen in my life? And then the rest of the letter was, I see the number 70. So it was $17 initially, and now it's going up to $70 to get the rest of it. And it all started out with something free to get you hooked. Come on, that shrimp ain't free. It's got a hook in it. Fish don't know that. If he knew it, he wouldn't take the bait. But people are so desperate in their need, and people prey on desperate people. Can you say, man, I'm desperate for God too, but I don't fool around with trinkets and all of this mess, amen, that is called God. I need the reality in my life. When I pray, I need an answer from God. Amen. I've been praying, amen, that God would stretch forth his hand to heal, that signs and wonders occur. Why are you praying that? Why don't you just teach the word of God? Because the gospel is under threat today. The word of God is not hitting with the impact that it once did in our culture and society and even in the church. And when the gospel was threatened, they said, Lord, we got to have more than the right gospel. We've got to have you to show up and show out when we preach this thing. Lord, behold their threatenings, and stretch forth thine hand to heal. It is the primary sign that God chose to confirm his word with. Go and preach the gospel. Move it, move it, move it. And heal the sick. It's what God used to get the gospel out of Jerusalem to the world. Acts chapter 14, there sat a man at Lystra who never had walked. And Paul went down to Lystra and preached the gospel. Perceiving that a man sitting and hearing the gospel had the faith to be healed, said to him with a loud voice, stand on your feet, we'll see what God will do. No, stand on your feet, Jesus makes you whole. And he got up and walked, and all that saw it turned to the Lord as their Savior. Because he distinguished himself from the false gods and the idols of men. Didn't he? He distinguished himself. A gospel without power is a powerless gospel. This gospel did not come in word only. Come on, it did not come in word only. We think we can talk it good enough, preach it good enough, and teach it good enough to do without God showing up and showing out. This gospel did not come in word only. The Bible said, but it came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. And because it did, it came with much assurance. Can you say amen? You know what Peter said? We preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. He told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Teaching them to observe and to do whatsoever I have commanded you. Make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they went, but they didn't go alone. They didn't have just an intellectual truth to share that is absolutely biblically true. The Bible said the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. 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 See, God, I hear everything explained away. I hear it all explained away. I hear the Red Sea parting explained away. Little kid in school, you know, he's talking about believing that God did these great things. And the teacher saying, no, he didn't. I heard something on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel explaining what happened at the Red Sea. It was low tide. The winds had come from a great storm and driven the waters back. And it was low tide, and it was only knee deep when they walked across. And the little boy said, then it's a greater miracle than I first believed. Because God drowned Pharaoh's army in knee deep water, chariots and horses and all. You can't take the miracle from God. You can't. He can't be God if he can't do these things, if he didn't do these things. If you believe he is, you got to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 This gospel did not come in word only. We've got so good at it. We've got it down to a science. We've got our Bible studies, but we don't see the mighty hand of God moving to help his people, to deliver his people, to keep his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. But we know the truth. We are right in our doctrine. We can argue our points of view. You know something? Elijah did not argue truth with the prophets of Baal. He said, let's just put all this to rest. Let the God who answers prayer. Come on, let the God who answers by fire. But what's he answering? This manifestation I'm calling for. He's answering prayer. Come on, he's answering prayer. He's answering prayer. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let the God that answers his people when they call upon him. Let that God be declared the true and the living God. Let's don't argue our theology here. Let's let there be something more going on here today. Hallelujah. I believe the gospel is threatened, not because we don't have the truth, but because we keep our truth in the intellectual arena where we're just trying to convince men intellectually. We cannot spiritually convey or convince anything. I'm not talking about a sign to somebody who's determined not to believe. God said, I'm not going to do anything for them. But he said, if you are a believer, I'm going to use you and others like you to confirm my word. These signs will not be given because an unbeliever demands it. But wherever there's a believer, these signs shall follow them. That what? That believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. In my name, they will tread on serpents. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Someone told me when the... That's not me going. It's the last apostle drawing his last breath. When the last apostle... When he dropped, amen, he gave up the ghost. That's the last miracles. God only used miracles through them. What about the other 70? That he sent. That wasn't the apostles. It was 70 other men and women. He sent them. Anointed. And they came back rejoicing. The power of God was in operation. You think the gospel isn't threatened today? We got big buildings. We got look at our architecture. They put $1 million organ in a church in Palm Beach. It's to the glory of God. We get this $1 million pipe organ. God's going to be glorified, honey. You got to worship God in spirit and in truth. That big instrument is not going to impress him. One church in South Florida, when they built their church, got the architect. I told you last week, the architect went. They sent their architect to the files of the building code division, and they found out how high the highest steeple was on the biggest church in town. They said, we want ours 6 foot higher. I like what that old Bourbon Street preacher said years ago, he said, you can build your church until It's something that angels are in awe of. He said you can build your, get your choir to sing something that that opera stars would be in envy of. Amen. He said you can build your steeple so high, amen, that it interferes with satellites circling the earth. But until one sinner walks down the aisle and comes to saving faith, amen, God is not impressed with any of it. Can you say amen? But there's joy in the presence of angels. There's joy in the presence of angels. There's joy, not just the angels, but in the presence of angels. God the Father, God the Son, there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. One soul that is delivered from damnation. There's joy. All heaven stops to recognize that event. And what did God use to further the gospel? All that saw it came to the Lord. Came to the Lord. What distinguishes our gospel? Well, we got the Bible. See, we believe the Bible. Every major religion in the world is a book. A book. This is the truth. We're not going to do very well if God don't show up in our services. If God's people pray and there's no answer. We cry for help and no help comes. God doesn't talk that way. God doesn't operate that way. He never has. He never will. I would be fearful today if I didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today. That I could expect when I reach out to Him, that He will show compassion on me, that He will reach down to me, reach up to me, reach out to me as well. Amen? If you're satisfied with your intellectual concepts, that's great, but what happens when you need help? What happens when you need an answer? The church has become apologetic about God not answering. Somehow, defeat and destruction is in His plan for you. That 3-year-old that the grandmother backed over in the car, it was God's plan, it's God's purpose. God took that child. How does the devil get off so easy? How does the curse get ignored? We live in a world cursed by sin. We live in a fallen world. We live in a faulty body. That's why you're aging. I hate to break it to you, but you're aging. Even you guys are aging. Have you ever seen a picture of yourself when you were 3? Have you ever looked at yourself lately? You're not old by any standard, but you don't look like you did when you was 3. You're taller, you're handsomer, I would say. Amen. I got to throw that in because he's taller than me. But anyway, amen. But you're aging. Take a good look at me. I was once where you are. Yeah. But you're going to be where I am someday. That was engraved on a tombstone. You know when they show these tombstones that have these funny sayings on it? It says, I was once where you are. One day you will be where I am. Right there on the tombstone, make you stop and think. One tombstone up in Rhode Island said, don't bother me now, don't bother me never. I want to be dead forever and ever. That's somebody that was bugged his whole life with something. And he didn't want to be bugged by it anymore. Hope he went to heaven. Amen? Yeah. What happened to the gospel? What happened to prayer meetings where God answered prayer? God never minces words. Prove me with, herewith saith God, you do what I said I would bless, and I promise you. What happened to that? What happened to obtaining promises? 3,000 of them. And where's the church explaining away why God doesn't do these things anymore? You may want to go there, dump your Bible, faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit, if Brother Couch was here, he'd be saying graveyard dead. So I'm going to say it for him. Dead! You tell people we're going to pray for them, don't mean nothing to them. They don't see any prayers answered. Don't see theirs answered. Don't see yours answered. How's that going to help them? They say it on news broadcasts. They don't even know what they're talking about. We're supposed to know. Our prayers are with you. I thought, why do I care? You don't even know who God is. You don't talk about God. If you said something about God that wasn't in vain somewhere, amen, you probably wouldn't have your job with that national network. Our prayers are with those people. Well, what about our prayers? What about when we pray? John 15 is about fruitfulness, and part of it is about answered prayer. Answered prayer. And the joy of answered prayer. The joy of the Lord is when we're in a right relationship with Him. We put our faith in Him, and God begins to show up, and God begins to show out. That's why signs follow believers. Because believers pray, and God answers prayer. And when God supernaturally answers prayer, it's significant. Things happen. We received a prayer request here and others from the radio station that a lady who had cancer and needed immediate surgery for that cancer and radiation treatment afterwards, and also was pregnant with a child. So the doctors wanted to go ahead and take the baby and get into the surgical procedures and the radiation and the chemotherapy to try to save her life. She put her trust in God. She must have claimed something from His Word and ask people to pray. And she decided, no, I'm not going to let them kill the baby, and I'm going to trust God with my body. What would bring someone to that kind of decision? Is it possible that God could answer such a prayer? Yeah, He can. There's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing too hard for thee, the scripture said. Call upon me. He even gives us a challenge. Jeremiah 33:3, as I get ready to close, He said, call upon me. Call upon me. Genesis chapter 4, somewhere around verse 26, I believe it is. It's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. It says, and men began to call upon the Lord. They begin to discover this is a prayer answering God. Woo! Woo! And so this prayer answering God says, call upon me, and I will leave you disappointed, disillusioned, discouraged. You never know what to expect from me. No, He said, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. In other words, you can't imagine what I'm able to do until you start trusting me in prayer. Eye has never seen, ear has never heard. It has never even entered into the heart of man what the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him and fear Him. But He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you think or ask. According to the power that worketh in you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many know there's faith in here? How many know there's that out of your belly shall flow? There is witness and testimony, yes. But there's also prayer. Pour your heart out before the Lord out of your belly. The Holy Ghost will come and help you pray. It's got to get out of the death rattle. We've got to get the church out of the death march. We've got to get the church out of apologizing for a God who is aloof in his heaven and doesn't answer prayers of his children. Amen. You can't make a church pretty enough. You can't get a preacher educated enough. You can't have a Bible study deep enough if you don't believe that God is still on the throne and that God still answers prayer. Can you say amen? I'm not interested in your theological accuracy if your God doesn't show up. The letter killeth. It's the spirit that gives life. Paul said, I don't preach the gospel with the wisdom of words. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech was not with the, listen, enticing words, even though it's the truth from the Bible, the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in a demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can you say, man? God has power to save, to transform, to deliver, to set free, to heal, and to help his people and those who call on him. Hallelujah. Wow. I got to read this. We haven't read it as we close. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 is a summation of all of this encouragement to have faith in God. And listen to what it says. It said, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Did you see that in there somewhere? Obtained? Obtained? Obtained promises? God said it. I have received it. Does it say that? Remember the old commercial? Was it Wendy's or Hardee's? This little elderly lady. She comes in and she lifts up her hamburger patty. And it's got this little thin thing in there. It looks like it's something that goes in a shoe instead of something you eat. She looks back there where the cook is. She says, where's the beef? Sometimes I think the Lord looks down on his church. Where's the faith? Through faith they did what? Faith in what? In the promise? No, faith in the person who made it. Faith in the person who made it. But when there's faith in the person who made it, then the promises of God become something different. They're not just words on a page. They're not just empty. They're yea and amen. Don't you love the way God chose Mary? Because she was an amen lady. Amen. She was an amen lady. Said, you're going to be with child. You're a virgin, you've never known a man, but you're going to be with child. She said, Lord, how shall this thing be, seeing I've never known a man? She said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. God's going to take care of that. She said, okay, be it unto me according to thy word. You know what amen means? Be it unto me according to thy word. And the promises of God are to them that believe that the God who made it will carry it out. The God who made it is a man of his word. What happens when we mix faith with the promise? What happens? They obtain promises. They obtained promises. What changed when they started getting their prayers answered? They obtained promises, and because they did, they stopped the mouth of lions. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Out of weakness they were made strong. Is that in your Bible? Oh, I know it's hard to swallow. I know you'd rather sit on your rusty faith. and explain away the miracle power of an omnipotent God. Sit in your Bible study and celebrate your truth without your God to help you or anybody else. Don't you get tired of that? Don't you get tired of hearing yourself talk? Wouldn't you like to talk to God and get an answer? Wouldn't there be a joyous sound in here if we start obtaining promises? It's going to happen. It's got to happen. This is not about the gift of miracles. It's not even about the gift of healing. This is about answers to prayer. This is not about a gifted evangelist. This is when God's people come together. Where two or more of you are gathered together, what happens? There am I in the midst of them. How do you know? Because I feel Him. It may be. He manifests Himself. But let me tell you what the Scripture said. Where two or more of you are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. And if any two of you in that context agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. I'm here to answer prayer. You didn't hear me. He said, I'm here to answer prayer. Whether you feel it, whether you don't. Whether you shout, whether you don't. Whether you get a witness or whether you don't. I'm here to answer prayer. Call upon me. In the day of trouble, I will deliver you. And thou shalt glorify me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God doesn't mince words. He didn't call me to apologize for what He promised, but to preach it and declare it and proclaim it. Stand on it. Amen. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might partake of the divine nature itself, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God promised, you can come into my presence. I will sanctify you. I will cleanse your heart. I will armor you and enable you not to give in to the culture about you. I will give you victory. I will cause you to stand. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Even when you go through trials, God is faithful. Who will make a way of escape? It's a promise. Test. Wow. If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Don't let some PhD theologian try to give you the answer. Because he's going to get you in some vagueness out here, some theological fog. Jesus said, I will. I love it when God says, I will. So this covenant thing becomes reality. That's why you're saved today, because of a blood covenant. So Abraham said, that's a great promise. That's a promise that's going to require a total commitment on your part to keep. Amen. I'm going to keep my faith in you, but you got to bring this to pass. How do I know that you're going to keep the promise? He said, I want you to go cut a calf in half. He did it. Darkness came. It got real dark. It got jet black dark. And a fire pot appeared. And then that fire pot began to move. God manifesting His presence in that peculiar way so Abraham would understand His commitment to keep His word to Him. Amen. Moved right over between the two halves where a man usually stood. The difference is when God made the covenant, He knew this is such an important covenant if it's based on me and Abraham. If Abraham wavers, then the covenant will be broken. I'm going to make a commitment to Abraham. Abraham didn't have to go stand with the fire pot. Are you listening to me? He had to believe and trust, but it wasn't him. It wasn't the yoke with him in one side and God in the other. There's a weak part to that yoke, and guess who it is? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? It's God saying, I'm in covenant. I'm in covenant. Oh, I love it. Did you hear what it said? Through faith, they obtained promises. This is covenant language. This is covenant promises from God. When a man knows his covenant, he waxes valiant in fight. Puts the armies of Aden to flight. There's a man named Shammah back in the Old Testament. He had to know the covenant. He'd be foolish. Faith is not foolish. It's not jumping to conclusions. It's concluding to jump. His name was Shammah. He's out there with a farm implement in the field with the rest of his Hebrew brothers and sisters, and the Philistines come over the hill, had gathered together into a troop, and they were armed to fight and kill. And everybody dropped their rakes and their hoes, and they ran off and their shovels. Except Shammah. Now this guy's either the biggest fool that ever lived, or he's found a foundation for his faith that God would honor. It said, but Shammah stood in the midst of the field of lentils. Everybody say, this is the last time I'm leaving my pea patch. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. This is the last time I'm leaving my pea patch. It may not be nothing but a pea patch. That's not the principle. If the devil can get your pea patch, he'll get your cornfield next. If he can get your cornfield, he'll take your kids. He'll take your marriage. He'll take your health. He'll take your money. He'll take everything he can get. Give no place. No ground. Terra firma is the Greek word. Don't give no ground to the devil. No ground. Not whether or not I can do without it. God gave it to me, and I'm not going to let the devil take it from me. Whew. Oh, hallelujah. It's the principle of the thing. Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. He had to know something. Did you know there's a covenant with Abraham to the Jewish people of that day? They will come out against you one way, but they will flee before you seven ways. When they come against you, I'm going to stand up for you. Shammah said, I'm going to stand on that covenant promise. It said he stood. Now you got to understand, he had some kind of farm implement, and they were armed for battle. He stood in the midst of the field of lentils and defended it. And oh, see, here's how God gets glory out of things like that. It said, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. You know what that meant? When he stood his ground and stood on the promise of God, out of weakness, he was made strong. Turned the waxed valiant in battle. Turned the armies of the aliens to flight. That one man who claimed a covenant promise. Can you say amen? And the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord had to come on him. Oh, you said, well, he didn't even have a weapon. Samson only had a jawbone of a donkey. Can you say amen? But when the Spirit of the Lord came on a man with a jawbone, he became mighty in battle. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Because someone stood on the word of God. Someone claimed a covenant promise. It's exactly what Hezekiah was doing. They're surrounded by a unified army. They're outnumbered. Outgunned. He said, there's more with us than there is with them. God made a covenant with Israel. And he said, it makes no difference to God to say by many or by few. Isn't that incredible? It makes no difference to him at all. He said, if one man claims it, I'll give him victory over a bunch. 10 do it, I'll give the 10. 1,000 do it, I'll give 1,000 victory. 10,000, it makes no difference to God. But somebody has to stand. Handful of people. Said, what could God do here? We need to be in a church carried by the momentum of a cheering crowd. I said, it makes no difference to me. I've been in churches with a cheering crowd, didn't see God do anything. I saw people get a lot of tapes and listen to a lot of music and have a big time and be emotionally stirred for a little while. But when you come down to having God come through, it's got to be different. So we're getting ready to pray for people in just a moment right here. So I said, Lord, first thing I read, and we were in this intercession thing Sunday night after Sunday night, just a handful of us coming to be challenged to intercede. Challenged to intercede. Bodily exercise profiteth a little. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or gives life. If the battle isn't won in intercession, there's nothing we can do to win the battle in ourselves, as good as our intentions are. Prayer wins or loses the battle. Otherwise, it's human ingenuity and human energy. Even channeled for the right reason, we still lose. There's no fruit from it. Why? Because we didn't win it in prayer. And I remember reading from Isaiah 64. When temple worship was at its apex, they were good at church. It was at its pinnacle. They were bringing the proper sacrifices, burning the incense, singing and offering the proper worship elements. God is nowhere to be seen. Answered prayer isn't occurring. And Isaiah stirred down in his soul. And he said, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down on top of the mountains till the mountains begin to melt into the sea and cause the waters of the sea to boil. In other words, oh, that God would manifest his person, his power, and his presence again to Israel. Can you say amen? Oh, that there was something more than just going through the prescribed religious motion. Oh, that God would answer a prayer. God would show up. That's chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 of Isaiah 64. Verse 7 says why it wasn't occurring. People became satisfied with their religion without God. As long as there was no national emergency, they didn't miss him. Amen. And there are people satisfied to go to church as long as there's no personal crisis. We can just go through the motions, enjoy all the events and entertainment. And the reason that God wasn't moving was very clear. Verse 7 says, and no man stirred himself up to lay hold on thee. Remember Jacob, I will not turn you loose unless you bless me. Can you say, man? Halabakosanda barata, selabakatia, olaba tenana salabadinde, kolobosatai. So I went to the New Testament to find the counterpart to that. And I found the gospel threatened. Amen, as they threatened the apostles themselves. And they said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word in Acts chapter 4 by stretching forth thy hand to do what? To heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where that they were gathered was shaken. Can you say amen? And they were filled, these people that were already baptized in the Holy Ghost rose up within them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness and with great power. Say it with me, great power. Say it again, great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't lead a pilgrimage to the empty tomb in Jerusalem. They called upon the name of Jesus. They preached Jesus and him crucified. Amen. They preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And God moved. And when a lame man jumped up and walked and ran, people began to listen to what they were saying about Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection. Hallelujah. And in the book of Acts where the miracles occurred, people came to Christ. Can you say, man, so God's people were helped and the world saw our God distinguished. Just like Elijah distinguished him. Let the God that answers the prayers of his people be declared the true and the living God. They got so frustrated, they cut themselves trying to get their false God to come through. But Elijah went out and he prayed a paragraph, a very short paragraph. Lord, let them know that at thy word I prepared the sacrifice, dug the ditch, poured water over it, and filled the dish with water. Let them know that when I put my trust in you and obey you, you come through. Distinguish your name. Fire came out of heaven. We're so good at preaching. We're so good at teaching. We're so good at trying to intellectually sword fight. This is a spiritual battle. It's one with spiritual weaponry. I make no mistake about it. But God is faithful. God is true. So he talks in a way that we can obtain the promises. He doesn't mince words. He's in covenant. I gave you Psalm 103. Let me hurry and close with this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all of his benefits. Here's a covenant man talking about the benefits that God has provided in his covenant. He said, who forgives all of thine iniquities? How many know there's forgiveness offered to Israel because of the covenant with Abraham? When they offered the proper sacrifices, God was able to not send that judgment on them. At that particular place and time, these were foreshadows of Jesus. Ah. Oh, but even back under that covenant with Abraham, who forgives all thy iniquities, top shelf. What is next? Who heals? Who heals? Who heals? Are you in Psalm 103? Who heals? Listen, you know what? We have so drifted from any covenant relationship with God in the New Testament church. And David had a better covenant than we've got. Ah, but we got the Bible. Well, that Bible you hold tells about a God who has made promises by covenant to his people. And what good are promises if God isn't going to keep them? And what good are promises if we don't, through faith, obtain them? What good is that? When I was 8 going on 9, I was diagnosed with leukemia. If I was in a lot of churches with great Bible studies today, I would have never seen 12 years old. You know why? Because they do not believe that God heals anymore. Oh, he can. But no one is going to pray a prayer of faith over me. Because the prayer of faith doesn't just say that he can. It doesn't preface it with if it be his will. If he's made a promise, I think it's safe to assume it is his will. I don't believe God goes around talking using loose words. If you make a promise to me, I'm going to hold you to it. So don't say it if you don't mean it. If God makes a promise to me, he holds himself to it first. Prove me we're herewith, saith God, and see if I won't. It's a promise. Promise. But promises are obtained by what? By faith. The promised land had to be obtained by walking over on it and claiming it by faith. And the moment they did, God kept his part to give it to them. He gave it to them supernaturally. Walls fell by the power of God. Fear came upon mighty armies, and they went into retreat mode when the Israeli army came over there. Giants ran in fear when they walked over to claim the promise. Amen? So if we don't ever get back to where we can quit this nonsense of faithless theology and an impotent God, then we can't claim promises. The weak won't be made strong. The battles will not be one with our spiritual adversaries. And we won't receive the help we need from the Father who said, call on me. Jesus said, knock. He's talking about persistent prayer. Knock! In the Greek, it is and keep on knocking. In the New Testament, a little further, it says pray without ceasing. Don't ever quit using the privilege and power of prayer, because it shows your faith in your God, His covenant, and His promises. Knock, and it shall be. Say it, I love the way God talks. Knock, and it what? Shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Ask. Oh, I love the way God talks. I can't hardly stand to listen to a man with a PhD explain it all away. Be given you. For whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen. If you say unto this mountain after you pray, be thou removed and cast into the sea, even if you've got a mustard seed of faith and my faithfulness to answer prayer. And doubt not in your heart that what you just said will come to pass. That mountain will listen to you. Amen. Nobody would say that but God. Amen. But God said it. Amen. Christ taught it. Whew. Hallelujah. So always tell people after you talk to God in prayer to determine and discern His will and purpose, then talk to that's in the way of the answer. Command it to move in the name of Jesus Christ. You ever go to cast out a devil? I pray you don't do it the way we pray about everything else. Don't say, I don't know if your Lord wants you possessed or not. I have no idea what His will is. No one knows. But if the event is that He wants to set you free, which no one really knows, all I can pray is, Lord, whatever Your will is for Him, let it happen. Now, you may just stay possessed the rest of your life. I can't tell you will. Oh, come on. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Maybe that's satisfactory to you, but that don't satisfy me. In My name, you shall cast out devils. In My name, you shall lay hands. He used those signs to confirm the truth of His word and His gospel. And He used them over and over and over. And He used them so consistently that James said, if there's anybody in the congregation, because you're covenant people, if you're saved, you're in a church, a Christian congregation, if there's any sick, anybody, well, wait a minute, we don't know what God's will is. Well, you just listen, you'll hear it. Let God talk for a change. Amen. If there's any sick among you, oh, don't try to explain that away. You may need healing someday. You may need help from God someday. You may need God's hand to come down and lift you up and lift you out. Let it stand. Hallelujah. Just let it stand. Let's reach up to get a hold of it. Let's don't bring it down to our level. Let's stretch our faith today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let them call the elders. Let them anoint them with oil. In the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Hallelujah. 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 For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. And David said, I had that. Amen. Not salvation to the degree that you have it, but there was deliverance for me. There was help for me. There was healing. Amen. Can you say amen? And you got a better covenant established on better promises. Better promises. Better promises. Better promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things. Glory be to God. We're going to lay hands on Brother Norman today for a healing in his body. And I believe God is going to heal him and raise him up. And I believe that deep bone thrombosis, I believe the circulation is going to, if there's any blood clot trying to form, that it's going to be absolutely obliterated by the power of God. I believe it. I believe that those ailments, because we just happen to have oil here. Amen. We got one of the things necessary, amen, for the word of God to be obtained, this promise to be obtained today. We just happen to have oil here to anoint with. We just happen to have Christ here. The Lord said, where two or more of you gather together in my name, there am I. So he's in the building. He's in the house. Can you say amen? We got oil. We got the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm getting my shouting shoes on. I put on the wrong pair. I should have got, I'll take these off if necessary. Amen. The Lord is here. He's here. He's here. He said, you come in my name. I'm here. He's here. He's here. We got oil. We got the Lord here. There's only one thing left that we need. Amen. He's already sent me a note for prayer. He's had enough faith that if we pray, God is going to do something. Can you say amen? You have not because you ask not. That's out of the way. My brother said, I need it. I want it. I came to get it. Hallelujah. 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 What kind of church do you want to go to? What kind of God do you want to hear about? There's only one thing left. Amen. If there be any sick, let them call. This is covenant language. This is promises that are made and promises that are obtained by faith. Amen. Let them call the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Oil is representative of the one who is going to do the work, the Holy Spirit himself. The Lord raises up, but it's the Holy Spirit manifesting the presence and power of Jesus. So all we need now is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. How many believe that we can join our faith together and pray that mighty prayer right now? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, come with me. Brother, you want to come with me. Come with me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise. Give him the praise. I don't want to preach without the power of God. I don't want to teach without the power of God. I don't want to pastor without the power of God. Hallelujah. 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 Friday night I was praying for the church and the people. And I said, oh Lord, rend the heavens and come down. We need answers to prayer. So you can show your goodness to your people and your glory to the gainsaying world about. Distinguish yourself as the true and living God. Hallelujah. 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 And distinguish your people. Distinguish your people. That we are indeed the children, the sons, the daughters, the sheep of His pasture, the people of His hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let our victories bring you the glory. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let our deliverance bring you honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, Lord. Lord, stretch forth your hand. Behold how threatened the gospel is. We're more educated, more intellectually prepared to teach the Bible than any generation. But we need God like we've never needed God to come through. Can you say amen? Lord, bring honor to your name. Bring honor to your name. Bring glory to your name. That the name of the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, heal, deliver, set free. Hallelujah. For His great name's sake. Somebody give Him praise as we close. Your great name's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Distinguish your name when we pray in your name. Show us great and mighty things. Hallelujah. 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 God is going to do something in your life today. God is going to come through. God is going to show Himself strong. Hallelujah. 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 Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. There's strength in His name. Out of weakness, they were made strong.
Pray that it will bless you and encourage you.
They obtained promises.
That is above.
They obtained promises. Through faith in His faithfulness to His word, His will, His purpose. That's why He made the promise, because He's purposed to do it in your life and mine. He purposed to do it. That's why He promised. Hallelujah. That's why He promised. The promise of God is a revelation of His purpose for you. His promise to you is the revelation of His purpose for you. And don't let nobody tell you what it is. Let Him speak through His word, by His spirit. I know my thoughts toward you. I know my thoughts. I don't need somebody who thinks they know more than I know to tell you what I'm thinking toward you. Thoughts of good and peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Listen, the sound.
At the sound of your greatness.
Give Him praise. If you have to go, thank you for coming.
Jesus,
hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Jesus.
That was slain for us.
Jesus.
Son of God and Lamb, you are high and lifted up. And all the
you shall cast out devils. In my name you shall tread on serpents. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is for the glory of your great name.